As well as being a label on underwear, St. Michael is the name of a small town about 350 miles south of New York, in the Chesapeake Bay, in the United States. One night in 1803, during the American War of Independence, a British warship anchored just outside the town, and the people were afraid for their lives. So, they put out the lights in the town and carried them carefully and quietly into the field. And as darkness fell, they put those lights up in the trees in the field. And sure enough, the British soldiers, as it got truly dark, took aim at those lights and neatly planted all but one cannonball in the field. One hit the town, that's all. The town was saved. And if you visit the town of St. Michael these days, every single souvenir has got written on it these words: "The town that fooled the British." And they're really smug. It even says it on the police cars: "Here to serve you, the town that's fooled the British." What you see is important. There are consequences for us as Christians in what we look at and in what we see. And there are consequences too for Moses and for his mum and dad. I'm going to spend a fair bit of time looking at these few verses in Hebrews 11. You might like to open them out. What was the page number, Paul? Can't remember. 1210, thank you. 12:10. If you want to look at it. Hebrews chapter 11, reading from verse 23. It starts off by saying that by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child and because they were not afraid of the king's edict. You see, Moses' mum and dad saw something special in their baby son. Now, what did Moses' parents see? They saw that he was no ordinary child. Well, as far as I can see, all newborn babies look like prunes, and their parents think they look like angels. So what singled Moses out? The writer of the Hebrews thinks that it was mum and dad's faith that affected their eyes. By faith, they saw that he was no ordinary child. I guess there must have been some room for doubt, because Mr. and Mrs. Moses didn't really have any hard data. They didn't know what singled him out. But they acted on the basis of what they saw. They acted on their faith. How on earth do you hide a baby for 3 months? They're noisy things, aren't they? How do you hide a baby for 3 months? And remember, no hardwood front doors, no double glazing damping the sound, no detached houses. Noise travels, especially at night. Anybody been to New Wine or camping with a baby? You tried camping with a baby in about a mile's radius? It's a noisy business. How did they hide a baby for 3 months? They must have been determined enough to get up at the first cry, mustn't they? It's the only way I can see it working. And you know that kind of tiredness that really, you know, when you've been up night after night after night, and that kind of tiredness that makes you desperate. You know that kind of tiredness that shifts your priorities? When I was studying, I would think I'm going to work all night until the essay's finished. And about 2 o'clock, my whole system of priorities would just flip over. I couldn't care less about that piece of work. It just did not matter anymore. I went to bed. There's a kind of priority. Which is that important? And there's a greater sense of priority that Moses' parents had, which meant that they successfully hid that child for 3 months. A kind of perception that affected their faith, that carried them through 3 months of hiding a tiny baby. Strong perception that affected their behaviour. Faith can affect how you look at things. It can affect what you see. It can affect your outlook. And when people find faith, it changes the way you look at the world. It changes the way that you see your past. It changes the way that you see your present. It changes the way you see your future. Is your perception affected by your faith? Or maybe you feel you need a new outlook, a new way to look at the world. Maybe what you need is some of this Moses faith. Moses' parents saw something about their baby by faith, and it changed the way they behaved. And it was true of the parents, but it was true of the child as well. Verse 26. Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead for his reward. Moses had his eyes fixed on the future, on what God was going to do, and so he endured the struggles of the present. I know why people use the pulpit now. There's no space. Moses had a reference point. He was fixed. His attention was fixed. He was looking ahead for his reward. And he gave up all the goodies in Egypt, regarded disgrace as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead for his reward. Moses had his eyes fixed on the future, on what God was going to do, and so he endured the struggles of the present. Moses had a reference point, a fixed axis around which the whole of the rest of his life was pivoted. Am I that strongly centred? Are you? Commercial businesses that are successful run their business from what? From vision, mission and values. Vision first. They know where they're going. They know what they're getting. They know what they're aiming for. We also need a dream. We need something to aim for. We need a goal. Without a vision, the people perish or die of boredom or aimlessness. So where are we? Is your life driven by a consuming passion? By a vivid vision? Are you looking ahead for your reward? Sometimes I'm very interested in the little goals. And I guess people who've heard me speak before will know that sometimes I try and break things down into little steps. And try and work out the next thing we need to do. Quite keen on doing that. But sometimes the little steps don't satisfy. Sometimes the little goals just aren't enough. It feels like drudgery, like detail, like just going nowhere. And sometimes we need the big target. The little target isn't enough. This weekend I'm going to go home and creosote the fridge. Will that be enough? It's not enough. It doesn't satisfy. Sometimes the goal that we set doesn't achieve the kind of vision, the kind of perception that we need. It's the big goals that feed the spirit. It's the big vision that makes the real difference to our lives. Sometimes we need to go for the big stuff. And I'm glad when people in church pray for the detail. We need to pray for October the 12th. We need to pray for the preparation for the new rector. We need to pray for the detail of how John Holt and Jay Ashworth and Ros Paling cope with handling stuff on a day-to-day basis in the church. But we need to pray for the big stuff too. That this church makes an impact in the city. that we get close to God, that we have a vision that is centered on Jesus. We need to have lives where a difference is achieved because we've got Jesus in our sights. We need to lift up our eyes and focus on what really matters. In the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, the Apostle Paul encouraged us to fix our eyes on what is unseen. Bizarre, paradoxical stuff. Look at what you can't see. That's the challenge. And just in the next chapter of Hebrews, we read these words. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. This is a matter of faith. This is a matter of spiritual perception. And the guy who wrote the Psalms wrote about this kind of seeing. It's not a glance. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may glance at the beauty of the Lord. No. In the Psalm it says that I might behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to see him. This is concentrated attention. This is focused. This is deliberate beholding. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might study the beauty of the Lord, that I might meditate on the beauty of the Lord, that I might concentrate on the beauty of the Lord. Let's lift up our eyes and look up. Let's get Jesus in our sights. But sometimes, you know, it's not easy, at least in my life. Life seems to bash us and bruise us. And sometimes we have to look out at the world through a black eye. Life hurts sometimes. How is it that we can exercise faith? It's easy, isn't it, to look at the Lord Jesus and to be full of praise when things are good. But how do we exercise faith when things are difficult, when things are hard, when we've struggled? And I looked at Moses and I just wondered what kind of life he had. We know from the Old Testament that his parents set him adrift at 3 months. They did it for his good. But I wonder what his emotions responded to that. I wonder how he felt as a child and as a teenager and as a young man. I wonder whether he felt that he'd been abandoned by his parents. And then in the courts of Pharaoh as a child, he would have participated in the pagan ritual, the pagan worship required in the royal household. And as a young man, the first independent action that we read of in his life is that he went out and murdered somebody. And then he runs away. He seems to repeat the cycle of rejection by rejecting his adoptive parent. First rejected, and then rejecting. Combined with idol worship and murder. What kind of a background was that for him as he went into adult life? What kind of security and stability did he enjoy? Fast forward the tape. Remember him years later. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments and tells him to dish them out to the people. And he has a quick glance at these before he's got to read them out to the people. Looks at the first bunch, they're about regulating worship. And this guy who, in his past, has got who knows what traditions of pagan worship in Pharaoh's household. Looks at this stuff and he's got to tell the people, worship God alone. Pretty hard for him to read that out. Maybe it's going to get easier. Goes down to the next one. What does he read? honour your parents. This is the guy that has got bad experiences of parenting. Perhaps it'll get easier later. Looks again at the list. Reads the next one. You shall not murder. Did he wince when he read out those commandments? Did he remember the kind of experience he'd had in his life? Did he flush with embarrassment, cast his eyes to the ground, knowing his own story? How is faith operating here in the life of Moses? Seems to me that faith is the stuff of fresh starts. Faith is the stuff of healing and restoration. Faith is the stuff that stands up for what is right, even when we've failed in the past. This Moses faith is for people who have failed, people who have struggled, people who have been bashed and bruised. Was Moses still carrying some of that hurt and some of that shame? That stuff, that residue from his former life, when he gave out those commandments? You bet he was. Was he announcing these commandments arrogantly, ordering people about how they should live? Or did God choose a wounded healer to give out these commandments? I think so. Wounded healers so often bring the message of life. Faith for Moses encapsulated failure and found a way forward. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We've been following Moses' story. What about stepmum? What was her experience? I guess she felt really rejected as Moses turned his back on everything that she'd given him. Moses rejected her company. Moses rejected her lifestyle. He rejected her name and her reputation. This is an early historical example of teenage rebellion. Moses left his hearth and home, walked out on everything he'd been given. How would that princess have written this verse? By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be known. Would she have written this? Because of rebellion, Moses refused to be known. Or because of hatred, he hated her, didn't he? Moses refused to be known. Or due to misunderstanding, Moses refused to be known. Or because of teenage squabbles, he refused to be known. Or because of immaturity, what would she have written? And yet the Bible puts this word to it. Because of faith. It's as though the Bible took this event that in her mind was negative, was destructive, and saw that there was something positive there. By faith, Moses. So when we who are parents see our children appearing to reject our way of life, we have a choice. Do we attribute this to a positive or a negative process? The Bible sees beyond the short term. Faith is about seeing beyond the short term to the long-term purposes of God. You remember back in the Old Testament, Joseph, who was dumped in a well and left for dead by his brothers. Later on, when he saw this event in his past through the eyes of faith, Joseph said to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." I guess Joseph took some time, some years, to see it that way. But eventually he got there. The faith reinterprets some bad stuff. By faith, Moses refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, Joseph understood that his brother's actions had eventually led to a good result. By faith, Jesus endured even the cross to win us a future and a hope. By faith, Moses left Egypt. As a young adult, Moses had already achieved all the material comforts that he could have wished for. He already had a mini disc for his jog round the pyramids. He already owned his 900 camel power Porsche. He already had plenty of servants to exercise his MBA skills on, University of Cairo. He's got the status, he's got the wealth, he's got the comfort, he's got the possessions, and yet he threw it all away to become a penniless shepherd. Maybe there are some people in the congregation here tonight who are facing big decisions. Are you simply drifting into the family business, adopting the standard of living that you're becoming accustomed to? Or are you considering a radical change? Many people here know Dave and Nikki Sudlow. They've exchanged sub-zero England today for sub-Sahara Africa. They've changed comfortable toilets for a potty and English for the Tamashek language. They've made some radical choices. I don't say that we should all make radical choices in our life, but I do say that if you're contemplating them, let them be motivated by faith, by the determination to please God, rather than just seeking comfort, or motivated by cowardice, or just motivated by the wish to be different. Let's do God stuff and do it because of faith. Moses, it says in Hebrews 11, chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as much greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. Comparison seems to reduce life to an essential binary code. This or that, yes or no, to do this or to do that, Egypt or God, wealth and status or worship and sacrifice. Life is about options, about choosing. Everyday life can be about disobedience or obedience to the way of Christ. This passage talks about preferring Christ to the brief pleasures of sin. The pleasures of sin can be a bit like magnesium flares, brilliant but short-lived, turning quickly to ash and darkness. So how are we doing? How am I doing? How are you doing on the choosing business at the moment? At temptation crossroads? Or are you choosing faith road? That's one aspect of comparison. But there's another aspect of comparison that I think is really helpful. Sometimes I find it's really hard to say that I love God alone. You know, sometimes those Christian songs, I only love you, and I think, I can't sing that. I only want you. I only worship you. I only want to serve you. You're the only thing in my life. And sometimes I find that very hard to say. And sometimes our life is full of pressure and things which are very big and very stressful. And it seems to me that one step of faith is about comparison. If there's a thing, and I've had a couple of serious knocks this week, and I'm just kind of working my way through this process. And I can't get those things out of my head. They've kept me awake some nights this week. I shan't tell you what they are. They're the kind of things which, whenever I'm not busy doing something else, I'm thinking about. You know those things? Do you have stuff like that? And sometimes we think that faith is about throwing them away and looking at Jesus. I want to tell you tonight, it's not. Faith is about seeing that thing and seeing enough of the picture to see Jesus as well. And that begins to give a sense of perspective and proportion. At least that's as far as I've got this week. And I'm constantly this week saying, I want to see you, Lord. And I have no answer, no way of behaving, no approach to this stuff that I'm struggling with. I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to talk about it, I don't know what to think, I don't know what to pray, I don't know how to think, I don't know what my future is, how to act about it. All I'm doing at this stage is looking at this thing that I'm thinking about and saying, Lord, you're here too. You're in this picture as well. Do you understand? Do you know what I mean? That process of just somewhere in there, Lord, you're there as well. Comparison. And sometimes in those only songs, I sing mainly. Yeah? Because I want to love God more. And we're going to sing later, I think. Lord, you're more precious than silver. Lord, you're more costly than gold. Money's useful. I like it. But I want to love God more. Comparison. Moses acted in faith by seeing the stuff in Egypt and choosing to do the God thing. By faith, he left Egypt. And because Moses saw, he acted. It's because of what he saw by faith that he left Egypt. Perception and action are linked. What you see is what you get. WYSIWYG, they say to the computer people. What you see is what you get. Christians need to achieve the balance between this seeing and doing, this active stuff, and the just believing. Walk a tightrope between the chasm of one side of idleness, of doing nothing about our faith, and the kind of slavish overwork on the other side. Our Lord was friends with both Martha and Mary, rushing about and sitting at the feet of the Lord. You know when the friends, they'd got this guy who was paralyzed and they understood that Jesus could help and the crowd was too big around the house? And they climbed up and they took the roof out and they lowered him through a hole in the roof. And it says in the Bible that Jesus looked up and saw their faith. What did he see? Did he see four heavenly expressions? Or a dirty big hole in the roof and a DIY problem? He saw what they did. A hole in the roof. So there's a kind of effortless faith. A kind of resting, passive faith. Like the faith of Mary that just sat at the feet of Jesus. That's the kind of faith that, you know when you're just exhausted with it all and you give up praying. That kind of faith I'm talking about are the prayers you pray when you've given up praying. You know? When you stop trying and you find that he's still there. You stop having those obedient quiet times and he's still there. That kind of faith. Zacchaeus. You remember Zacchaeus? Little guy, wanted to see Jesus, big crowd climbed the tree. Yeah? At the bottom of the tree, Zacchaeus had faith. He knew that Jesus had something for him. He knew that Jesus was more important than his dignity. He understood about how important Jesus was in his life. And he climbed the tree. Where are you? Are you with Zacchaeus at the bottom of the tree? Knowing that Jesus is there and he's real and has something for you? Or have you done the kind of spiritual tree climbing exercise? Reaching out to God, wanting to know him, trying to do the stuff. Are you really longing for him? Or have you got into the kind of Olympic team for spiritual tree climbing? Constantly, constantly, constantly. Rushing and climbing and doing the stuff. Do you need to rest a bit? Or do you need to do a bit? Some of us have set up camp at the bottom of the tree. And we're just sitting quietly, not doing the spiritual disciplines, not doing the exercise, not doing what we should be doing. We're just resting in that passive faith. And Jesus might go by. And some of us are exhausted with climbing that tree, just doing all the spiritual exercises, trying to get into the kind of spiritual bodybuilding class. And Jesus comes by and he sees you at the top of the tree. And what does he say? Come down. So what's your Zacchaeus rating? What's your sycamore tree rating? Are you sitting comfortably at the bottom, doing nothing active about pursuing your faith? Or are you rushing up that tree, doing all the disciplines? Get that balance right. Some exercise, some climbing, and some resting. Moses' faith meant that he knew that God had his hand on his life and that Moses acted. And finally, we're taken in this passage to the Passover. By faith, Moses kept the Passover. And there we see Moses through faith demonstrating what Jesus will do for us all. By faith, Moses just got a glimpse of that wonderful mystery that a Passover lamb will die for the sins of the people. And that's faith's destination for us too. That we can get a glimpse of Jesus dying for us, taking away our sins and making us clean. Let's pray together.